My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, if I veer into talking about this slave's health, it's just a footnote or a byway. The healing of this slave is not the pinnacle of our pericope today. The center of this thing is this faith of the centurion, which is a bit circular and paradoxical, much like the life of faith we have in common in the church. On the one hand, the centurion sends people out and they say, "He is worthy of having you do this for him. He loves our people. He built us this synagogue. We play this game, right? We have done these good things, so therefore God should love us. God should do things for us. We've earned it. In fact, we're called to do these things. Follow the commandments, love our neighbors, work for justice and peace. We're asked to do these things. That's part of our command as Christians. It's part of the life of faith to do. Of course, we're pretty worthless. We don't do those things. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. How can we be worthy and unworthy all at once? Often we talk about faith in terms of the things we believe. Beginning the service, we all said we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and the Son and the Spirit. But those things aren't the center of our faith. This faith that amazed Jesus. Nowhere in the text did the centurion send people in and say, "Oh, Jesus, I believe your mom was a virgin. Come heal my slave." We confess that as part of our faith. But that's not the beginning of faith. The beginning of faith does have to do with this slave who got healed. Because this centurion, maybe by accident, maybe by his good piety, experienced the power of God. Worlds transformed by the inbreaking of what God is up to. They returned home and found the slave in good health. Their faith begins when we experience God's power. Out of that stems confessions, theological suppositions, heady metaphysical stuff like the Athanasian Creed we chanted for hours last Sunday. But these things, these confessions we make, confessing our faith, are ways of understanding our experience of what God is up to in the world, what God desires for our lives, the way God comes to us. Yet on the other hand, sometimes our theology and our creeds are the beginning of it. We start to make sense of our experience because we have these creeds and this theology as our starting point. How would we know to name God if we didn't have a conception of who God was? So they become neither a good starting point, but sometimes the only starting point for us. But it comes down to God being active in our lives and desiring something for us, unworthy as we may be. which as Lutherans is where we understand faith really to be active and come alive. Faith, at a certain point, or maybe even not at all, it's not our own. It's not something that we've welled up so perfectly that we've earned God's grace and love. Rather, it's God who is loving and gracious, who grants us faith, who comes to us and loves us and sustains us. Yet we're called to be faithful and have faith and trust and love God. Luther talked about how, left to our own devices, we're not going to love and trust God. Rather, we'll despise and hate him and fear him. And so at the last, it's not our faith that saves us. It's not our faith that brings us to the fullness of God's kingdom, but rather God's faith in us. Christ, who has faith for us, in us. It's the faith of Christ that redeems the world. Pointing at how we're unworthy, we're not going to make it there all the way on our own. Yet we become the worthiest, the most beloved, the most precious, because God has redeemed us, because Christ has done everything for us, healed us in ways we can't name or explain always. Sometimes we have passing moments of being the most faithful people, like this centurion, who I am not convinced knew the extent to which his faith was active here. Sometimes we stumble into it and understand the healing present now, actually experience God's love in the world. As liturgical folk, we enter into patterns, not as sacrifices, not as trying to earn God's love by showing up to church and saying the creed, coming to communion, dropping a few bucks in the offering plate. We're not earning God's love there. Rather, we're being shaped by the life of faith, by this thing that we can't obtain by ourselves, this community being a witness to what Christ has done and is doing and will ultimately bring us to the fullness of it. Here in this broken world, where we're dead to sin, probably embracing sin, death, and the devil more than we are letting the Savior enter in. Here, in the words of faith and in confessions, we're witnessing to an experience of a God who loves us and redeems us. A community that's been recreated by an experience of redemption and rising out of the depths of sin and death. Not on our own, but through Christ who loves us, whose faith is sufficient for all things. Amen.